All right, thank you, Brother Shepherd. Open your Bible tonight to Titus chapter 1. I'll read a few verses. Titus chapter 1. Well, while you turn this portion of the Word, I thank the Lord for the good meeting thus far, the good preaching of the Word. When I come to a meeting like this, I'm always reminded of a passage in the Proverbs where the proverb writer said, "A word in due season is good." And you come to a meeting like this and hear the preaching of the Word of God, there are always words in due season.
That's right.
We need those words.
Yes, we do.
Our Lord in John 14, He's on His way to Calvary. The disciples are saddened, but our Lord gave Him a word in due season.
Yes.
You know what He said to Him, don't you? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions."
Yes, sir.
Then He said, "If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you so."
That's right.
Amen. So what He was doing is giving those disciples a word in due season.
That's right.
I've had that along the way. I've had a lot of saints of God to give me a word in due season.
That's right.
Men and women. Amen. Even some young people.
Amen.
A word in due season. We'll thank the Lord for the services today and the encouragement,
yes, sir,
that we receive from the Word of God. Titus chapter 1, I'm reading verses 1 down through verse 4. Appreciate Brother Shepherd, appreciate him allowing me to be here in this meeting, and appreciate him. I love to hear him preach. We preach together several places, and he's a Bible preacher.
Amen.
It's always a help and encouragement to me. That's what we need, and that's what I'll be talking about tonight. We're living in days when Bible preaching is not popular. Bible preaching is not really politically correct.
Right.
But it's all right because God ordained it, God sanctioned it, and it'll still be all right when everything else is gone.
That's right.
Here in Titus chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible said, "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but has in due time manifest His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." You may be seated. As you know, the Apostle Paul had two sons in the faith, Timothy and Titus. He wrote two epistles or two letters to his son Timothy and one to his son Titus. But if you notice, the Apostle Paul said the same thing to both of them. He said to Timothy while he was in prison writing to Timothy, he said, "Preach the word, be it an in season, out of season."
Amen.
And here he said to Titus, he said, "Now don't forget that God has manifest His word through preaching."
Amen.
So I want to preach a little bit tonight on the importance of Bible preaching.
Amen.
The importance of Bible preaching.
Yes,
now, here's the thing about it. Sometimes there's a lot of preaching, but it may not be Bible preaching.
Right.
And by the way, that's all we have to really, it's important, and that is the Word of God and
that's
the Bible.
Right.
And by the way, it's not as popular now as it used to be, even among so-called saints.
Right.
I was talking to Brother Jimmy after that good message he preached this morning. We were just having a conversation, and I made the statement, it's true. Some preaching you preach years ago, some subject you preached on, all you got to do is just mention the subject, and the first thing happens is you can feel that barrier.
Yes, sir.
They cut you off right then.
Yes, sir.
40 years ago, you could preach that same message. Saints got on the altar, got right with God.
That's right.
Sinners got saved, and preachers said amen, shouted it out. But nowadays, it's not that way a lot of times. But I wonder who's changed.
Right.
I know God hasn't. I know His Word hasn't.
Right.
So the blame must lie on us. But it's still important to preach the Word of God. So when you think about this, the Word tells us, and it's always true, that God emphasized the importance of preaching.
Amen.
There's no substitute for the preaching of the Word of God. Now, a lot of folks have substituted things for the preaching of the Word of God. For the last several years, I mean many years, there's been people that have substituted singing for the preaching of the Word of God. And they run across the country saying, we're singing the gospel. But I've read the Bible a few times, and I've never read one place where any evangelist, missionary, or apostle sung the gospel. Now, singing's wonderful, singing's good, and we ought to sing and praise the Lord and make melody in our heart to the Lord. But singing is not a substitute for the gospel or the preaching of the Word of God. But a lot of folks, you know, they like the singing because there's no sting in it. And there's no conviction. I tell you, they'll go to these singings and they'll sing, Papa sing bass and Mama sing tenor. Me and little brother join right in. They'll jump and run, holler and scream and say, wonderful. Man of God gets up and opens the Bible and says, open your Bibles, I'm going to preach on the cross tonight, and they'll go to sleep on you. The reason for that is they were living in days when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now we're there, whether we like it or not. They're just not going to endure sound doctrine. Now, if you'll entertain them, give them something that'll tickle their ears, they like that. But here's the thing about it. I read the Word, and the Bible said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what it says. And another part of that verse says that it's for instructions in righteousness. Not instructions, entertainment, but instructions in righteousness. Okay. Let me just preach a little bit about the importance of Bible preaching. First of all, why should we preach the Bible? Why should we support a man or church that will stand on the Word of God? Why? Well, there are a lot of reasons, but our brother this morning kind of touched on it, Brother Kirkman. One of the reasons that we need to have Bible preaching is because it pleases God. And if it pleases God, it doesn't matter what men may say or men may think. For if it pleases God, then that's all that matters. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, that by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Now, he didn't say foolish preaching. He said the foolishness of preaching. So there's a lot of foolish preaching, I suppose, probably through the years. I've done a little myself. You have too, probably. But if you'll stay in the Bible and you'll just stay with the Word and preach the Word, it may be foolishness to people, but it pleases God. And if it pleases God, that's all that matters. I'm thinking of this verse in Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul said it like this in verse 8 through 10. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Yes.
Paul, one of those preachers, had the ideal and philosophy saying, you go your way, and I'll go mine, and we'll all get to heaven the same time. You just preach what you want to, and I'll preach what I want to, and the Lord will be pleased. No, Paul said, I don't care if he says it's an angel from heaven.
Yep.
If he says anything I haven't said, Paul said, somebody said, it sounds like Paul thought he was right. He was right.
Yes,
he was right.
Yes,
see, a lot of time when you preach the Word and stay with the Word of God, a lot of people say, well, that preacher thinks he's right. He is right.
Yeah.
If he preaches the Word of God, he is right.
Yeah.
And therefore, he doesn't have to apologize for it, water it down, salt peddle it, just say what the Word says, and it is right. So Paul said, if an angel comes around and says anything that I haven't said, in verse 9 he said, and we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. I like this verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Right.
Years ago, I was a young preacher in a little Bible college with a professor. And a church needed somebody to fill in. He went down to fill in and he came back. Here's what he said. When I got there Sunday, I asked them what they thought they wanted me to preach. Well, you don't do that. You just, in other words, God sets the table and you just put out the Word of God. And God knows where to apply it and how to apply it. And God will take care of the situation. You don't ask folks what they want. You give them what they need. So first of all, why should we have Bible preaching if please God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe? Another reason is because the Word is powerful. You don't have to prop it up. You don't have to push it along. The Word is powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. And the Bible tells us that that Word is powerful. And Paul said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes.
Right.
Thank Brother Blue last night mentioned Romans 1:16 about that power, that dynamite of God.
Amen.
It is powerful. When a person believes that gospel, as our brother preached this morning, it'll transform lives.
Yes,
we're living in days when it doesn't seem to do that because they are not really receiving the gospel.
Right.
Can I read something to you? And I'm going to try to hurry, but can I read something to you in the Bible? See, a lot of folks got the idea that you can believe in Jesus on Sunday morning and go your way and never come back until Easter, Christmas, and maybe on Mother's Day or Father's Day.
Yeah.
And then when you come, the preacher would get up and recognize Granny. She hadn't been there since last Mother's Day, but she showed up, got her hat, little bonnet on, and oh, he'll brag on that. I don't brag on folks don't come to church. I'm just going to preach to you a little bit. I'll be through in a minute. I'm not going to take Brother Blue's time. In Galatians chapter 1, here is what the Bible says about those that receive the gospel that pleases God, receive the Word of God, that's the power of God in salvation. Here's the evidence of those that have believed that and received. Now, here's the thing about the Bible. If the Bible says you're saved, you're saved.
Right.
If the Bible says you're not saved, you're not saved.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how you feel.
Yep.
Doesn't matter about your emotions. And somebody's already said during this meeting, a preacher will say, in other words, repeat this prayer to me. And if you did that, you're saved. Don't let anybody cause you to doubt that. Oh, no. The Bible tells us the evidence of receiving that gospel is, in other words, a change in life. Why should I preach the gospel? Why should I preach the Word of God? Why should you preach the Word of God? Souls are hanging in the balance.
Right.
They don't need religion. They don't need reformation. What they need is regeneration. And the only one who can do that is God. And He doesn't do that without the preaching of the Word of God.
Right.
Now you can mark that down.
Yes, sir.
Here in Galatians chapter 1, I like this. I'll begin with verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have of all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard, here it is, before in the word of the truth of the gospel. They heard that.
Yeah.
Verse 6 says, which is coming to you as into all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you. I wonder when that started. 10 years later? 20 years later? You got saved when you was 12? Got baptized? Had no desire to go to church? No delight in worship? Wasn't concerned about the work? Then when you got about 20 or 25 or a little older, you decided to come down and rededicate your life. Now you better listen to me.
Yeah.
This Bible says right here that those folks that heard the truth of the gospel and therefore believed it and received it, The Bible said it bringeth forth fruit as it doeth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. When did that gospel begin working? When did that grace begin to be shown? From the first day they heard it.
That's right. Amen.
With that Samaritan woman got saved to that well, it didn't take her 6 months to find out it was wrong to shack up. When that demoniac got saved in that graveyard, it didn't take him no 12 months to find out it was wrong to go naked. Say amen. Saul of Tarsus got converted on the road to Damascus. He didn't have to have a seminar and go to a seminar for 6 months or 12 months to find out, I'm not supposed to kill Christians. There's just things that accompany salvation, and the Word of God being preached, and people believing that Word will transform lives. We're living in this day when people do not like that, do not want that, and they'd rather go to, my friend, a so-called church that are entertained, and my friend, have all kind of activities, but they don't want the preaching of the Word of God. Why I preach the Word pleases God. Why? It's the power of God and salvation. Amen. You know what the Word being preached will do? It'll cause sinners to feel the weight of sin. Yeah. Do you know that? It will. It'll cause them to feel the weight of their sin.
Yep,
sir. You say, I believe that. I experienced that.
Yes, sir.
You experienced that when you heard the preaching of the Word? In other words, there came that conviction, came that heavy burden on you. In other words, you felt the weight of sin.
Right.
Old John the Baptist, he's a great preacher. Now, a lot of you'd rather quote Spurgeon, and that's okay. Or John Wesley, Charles, that's all right. Or the great reformer, Martin Luther. That's okay if you want to do that. But how about quoting old John?
Amen.
John the Baptist is one of my favorite preachers. You say, I wonder why that is. I'm a Baptist. And I'm not a Protestant. I don't apologize for saying that. I'm proud of my heritage. Say amen.
Amen.
See, a lot of these Baptists nowadays are taking Baptists off their signs and putting up community churches and, in other words, so-called, they're afraid that Word will offend people. It always has and always will.
Amen.
Old John the Baptist on the banks of the Jordan River, full of the Holy Ghost. Now, by the way, a lot of folks have said a man, a priest like John, could not be filled with the Spirit. Because a man that said what he said had no love, no compassion, and no concern. But John was filled with the Spirit of God in his mother's womb. And those Pharisees and Sadducees came down, going to join up, and they was going to really get on that bandwagon. And old John said, wait a minute, hold it. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then he called them a generation of vipers. Amen. So really, somebody say, a man that talks to people like that is not full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. He loved people.
Right.
Had compassion with people. And any fellow that'll water it down, salt, peddle it, compromise it to get a number, and my friend, get your favor on him, he is not filled with the Spirit
That's
of God.
Right.
Well, I got to hurry.
Why
preach the Word? Because it's the power of God unto salvation, and that Word is so powerful, it'll cause sinners to feel the weight of sin.
That's right.
Tell you something else it'll do. It'll cause them to see where they are. John said, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? By the way, when people are saved, first of all, they feel that condemnation. That judgment. That lostness. And then, they also not only feel it, but they see they can flee from the wrath to come.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Let me give you this. Why preach the Word of God? That's not popular. It's not politically correct. And you're not going to be the pastor of the town when you do it. And you're not going to be the most, in other words, famous evangelist.
That's right.
Or even missionary when you do it.
Right.
Say amen.
Right.
Paul never got the keys to the city. Never even got the keys to the jailhouse. He didn't need the keys to the jailhouse. The Lord took care of that. But the Word of God also is the only thing that will produce saving faith. You better believe that. Fairy tales, graveyard stories, far out experiences will not produce saving faith. Now, a lot of folks would drive 100 miles to hear a man get up and talk about how mean he was, how many beers he drank, how much liquor he drank, how many women he ran with, how much dope he took, and they'll go 100 miles, and he won't even, open the Bible a lot of times, and if he does, he'll say something not even in the Word of God, and they'll go away saying, what a wonderful, wonderful service.
Yep.
But you, and by the way, they'll walk the aisles and make professions and get all excited. But you know what? That don't produce saving faith. The only thing that produces saving faith is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we need to preach the Word, is because it's the only thing that God's ordained to produce saving faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Tell you something else. It's not only produce saving faith, it'll also settle you in the faith. Do you know that? That's the reason Paul said we're not carried about the every wind of doctrine. The Word will settle you down. This Word tells you not only how to be saved, but it tells you, in other words, and establishes you in the doctrines of the Bible. I'm not confused about salvation. Why? I got a Bible. I'm not confused about the way of baptism. I got a Bible. I'm not confused about, in other words, how to observe the Lord's Supper. I got a Bible. Say amen. That's why I believe in closed communion and not open communion. Say amen. Somebody says, I think everybody ought to be invited. You haven't read your Bible right. Okay, that's narrow. And it's out of date. And folks think you're ignorant, and if you preach like that, they think, I've had them say about me, he thinks only people going to heaven is Baptists. I don't believe that. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I don't think there's anything wrong going first class, do you? Amen. Amen. All right, we'll move on off of that one. I feel like I get a little flack on that, but anyway. It'll settle you in doctrine. We're not carried about with every wind of doctrine. Tell you something else to do. The preaching of the Word will stir you up. That's right. I come to a meeting like this, and a man can get up, and he can joke, and he can give fairy tales and graveyard stories. It doesn't move me one bit. Well, it moves me the wrong way. But if a man gets up, I don't care if he's young, I don't care if he's elderly, I don't care if he's a doctor, I don't care if he, in other words, doesn't have any degrees, if he preaches that Word, it stirs me. It stirs me up. Say amen. That's why I'm preaching. I'm preaching tonight. I'm stirred up. This preaching's got me stirred up. Amen. Preaching will stir you up. Not only the preacher, it'll stir saints up. I'm telling you the truth. It'll settle you in doctrine, stir you up to fight the good fight of faith. Why is the preaching of the Word so important? Because it pleases God. It's the power of God. It's the only thing that produces saving faith. Amen. I could preach a long time, but let me give you this and I'll be moving. When are we to preach the Word? Paul's in prison. I like Paul.
Yes, sir.
He's in prison. He's not discouraged. He's not doubting. He's not defeated. He writes back to Timothy and says, Timothy, tell you what I want you to do now. He knows where Timothy's at. Timothy's in Ephesus. Paul's been there. You know what Paul said to Timothy? On one occasion, he said, now listen, I know where you are, and I want to tell you about a fellow in that city.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I don't think you ought to do that. I think you ought to.
Yes,
I think the pastor knows that my friend there is a fellow or a person in the congregation that's giving him trouble, and a new preacher goes in. It's not anything wrong with telling him, you watch that fellow. Paul said to Timothy, there's a man in Ephesus by the name of Alexander. That's his name, and I'll tell you about his occupation. He's a silversmith, so he won't get mixed up.
Yeah.
And then he said, Timothy, preach the Word, visit in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what he's saying to him? Keep preaching the word.
Amen.
Just keep on preaching the word. Paul's not discouraged.
Right.
Paul didn't write back to Timothy. Now, Timothy, I was in Ephesus and I didn't have a lot of tact. And I just didn't do right. I was really too hard and too straightforward. And I was just too straight-laced and preached the Bible too strongly. Now, what you need to do is kind of settle down, young man. In other words, and just kind of back off. I've heard that.
Yes, sir.
You'll hear young preachers say that. I mean, old preachers say that.
Yep.
Here's the way they say it. When they heard brother, if some of those fellows heard this young man preach this morning, you know what they'd say? I used to preach that way to learn better.
Right.
That's what they'll say.
Yeah.
Well, some of you used to preach that way. And the reason I don't preach that way is because I'm old and I can't preach that way. Amen.
Amen.
When you get older, you slow down, Brother Gary. You slow down a little bit. But they'll say that. I used to preach that way to learn better.
Yeah.
No, they compromise, some of them. And other words, I see a preacher the way I think I've always preached, but this brother sitting right back here, Brother Gene Mathias,
yes.
He said, when I used to hear you preach, I thought you was cross-eyed. Well, I wasn't, and I'm not cross-eyed. You don't remember saying that? Sure, you remember saying that. First time that brother Gene was in Michigan. And I might have been crossing my eyes. Okay, I'm going to quit. But when are you to preach? You to preach what? Be it some in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. Here's about what Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you preach that word in the time of apostasy. There'll be a falling away. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. But he said just because they've not endured, you just keep on preaching that word.
Amen.
Preach the word in time of apostasy. Preach the word when the pressure's on you and you suffer afflictions. He said just keep on preaching that word. When there's apostasy and afflictions come your way and apathy, he said just keep on preaching.
Amen.
Amen. That's why, that's the reason, in these days you and I are living in, that we need to just keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Preaching the word. And by the way, I know this is true. I know it's true. Somebody said, well, if I preach like that, won't anybody listen? God's always got a remnant.
Amen.
There'll always be some around that, in other words, will say amen to it.
Yes, amen.
Just like these meetings. The only reason you're here is because you came because you knew it'd be a meeting where there'd be God, a good singing, there'd be good fellowship, there'd be good preaching.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you this, I'm through. Where are we to preach? Well, when you read the Bible said they went everywhere preaching. As a matter of fact, the Word tells us that, thank brother, one of the preachers mentioned this. Philip, remember Philip? Philip preached in the city of Samaria.
Yeah.
Multitudes being saved. Great revival going on. But then the Lord said to Philip, I want you to go down to the desert. And old Philip went down and preached to one man. Where are you preaching? Preach to one.
Right.
Preach to the multitude.
Yep.
See, some preachers, they don't feel like they can preach to five or ten.
Right.
Or 15, they got to have hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to call his name. I wouldn't do that. But this preacher, he went to this little church. Preacher had him down there to preach. He got there and the crowd was small. And he made an excuse about the first or second night. He had to go home. He didn't go home. He went home because the crowd was too small. He went back and said, didn't have anybody to preach to. Okay. That's okay. Philip preached in the cities. Philip preached in the desert. Our Lord preached in the street. Our Lord preached in the synagogue.
Yep.
Our Lord preached over the riverside.
Yep.
Our Lord preached in the mountains.
Yes.
You know, Herod said, I'd like to ask something of you, Jesus. Would you tell me a little bit about your doctrine? Our Lord said, I'd have you to know. Everything I've said has been above board.
Yep.
I've done nothing in secret,
right.
So he didn't belong to the lodge. You'd mark that down.
Amen.
Say amen if you belong to it. Get out of it.
Amen.
If you're right with God, you won't belong to it.
Right.
That's okay.
Yeah. That is right.
Sure, it's right. Paul preached in prison. Paul preached in the palaces. Paul preached in the marketplaces. The importance of preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
Paul said on one occasion, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel."
That's right.
Paul said, "You know, I found this out. And by the way, could I run this by you? He didn't know this before he got saved. He knew this after he got saved. That God separated me from my mother's womb."
Right.
Somebody said, "Well, now Paul knew that before." No. If he'd have known that, he wouldn't have been persecuting the church.
Right.
If he'd have known that, he wouldn't have been blaspheming Jesus' name.
Right.
I know a lot of things since I've been saved before I got saved.
Yeah, sure.
Amen. You know that too, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm not an accident.
Amen.
I didn't slip in the back door. I didn't surprise God. Okay, I could get off all that. I'm not a Calvinist now, and I'm not a fatalist. I'm a whosoever will man. I believe in preaching the whole counsel.
Amen.
But he said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel."
Amen.
And then he also said to them at the church at Corinth, "I came to you, and I knew nothing among you save Jesus Christ and crucified." And he said to them, kind of apologized for it. He said, "I didn't take anything from you."
Right.
That's what he said.
Amen.
And by the way, Paul did work a little bit.
Yes, sir, he did.
I could spend about 30 minutes here, but I won't. A lot of these missionaries and even preachers, they think it's a sin to work.
Yeah.
Well, when you get started, you might have to work.
Yes, sir.
When I first started, I worked.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I worked at a sawmill, helped build houses, poured concrete, amen, drove a school bus. Sometimes my wife will say to me when I'm driving, she'll say, you can't drive too well. I said, I'd have you know I drove a school bus.
Yeah.
And I'd have you know I drove a truck.
Yeah.
Amen. Say amen. So here's the thing about it. It's not anything wrong with a man. Like Paul. Now, Paul's educated.
Right.
Count everything he had done for Christ's sake.
Yep.
And the Bible said that he made tents.
That's right.
And took some of the means that he got from those tents and helped missionaries.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Brother Shepherd. I'm like Brother Billy Gooseby. I'm tired and wore out.